I'm preaching through 2 Samuel in chapters 5 and 6. And I'm preaching on worship. Worshiping God involves loving Him, adoring Him, honoring Him, and being grateful. It's what we just did with music. We do it all the time, though, when we recognize the Lord, because when we're worshiping, we're intentionally glorifying Him. So anytime you glorify the Lord, you're worshiping Him, bringing honor and praise to Him. That's glorifying Him. Now, there are various ways to worship as outward expressions. We just did one of many this morning. You can worship in celebrative ways, like with music and singing and even dancing. Eating food can be used in worship. It could be a kind of solemn, subdued type of thing, like with quiet communion. There's exuberant feasting, like we see in the early church. There are many outward expressions of love for the Lord in worship. And there are preferences, personal, cultural, even ways that people think are more biblical than other ways. Sometimes their thinking is right, sometimes not. Some people don't like certain ways other Christians express their worship. Now, for some, the method becomes their main thing. And what happens is they lose sight of the reason that it's going on. They get off the right focus, which is who? The focus is a person. The person, God, Jesus. So the most important thing is what you're doing with what you do. And this morning I'm preaching from 2 Samuel 5 through 6. I'm focusing on the reason. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Focus on the reason for celebrative worship. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you help me to preach your word in truth, to build us up, and that we would learn and that we would use what we learn to glorify you and to be worshipers that are seeking you and worshiping you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, the setting is that David just became king over Israel. David made Jerusalem the capital city. They called it the city of David. And when the Philistines heard that David became king, Saul has died, David's become king, they tried to conquer him. So the Lord told David, you need to go out, you need to defeat the Philistines. David went, he defeated the Philistines. And then David gave glory to God. This is what the sermon's about. He worshiped, and he had the focus. And his lesson shows us that we need to be mindful of the Lord in respect to what we consider to be our own victories. Our victories, God's in it. God is in our life, even in victories we don't even know are going on. When we think everything's failing, there's victory going on. And we need to always be glorifying the Lord, and that is a thread in this. It's easy to be focused on victory itself. It's easy to focus on yourself making it happen. And so the first lesson is start nurturing the right focus of being mindful of the Lord in everything. You look around, what's going on in politics, what's going on with our nation in terms of diseases and any type of thing. Keep mindful of the Lord in all that's going on, and you'll worship, because that's when worship follows. David said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breaking forth of waters." David gave glory to God out loud. Why? Well, he's worshiping the Lord, but he's also wanting everyone to hear, and they did. And now what else has happened with that? It's become scripture. I just read it. So now it's scripture, and it's meant to be read as history, and it's meant to be read as spiritual truth, and it's meant to move you and me to the focus. The focus. God is the star. See? So read it and worship the Lord with David. Now, after subduing the Philistines, David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant. And David was establishing Jerusalem as the base of Israelite worship, all the different Israelite settlements. Jerusalem's going to be the base. And so David gathered thousands of men. They went to Baal Judah, where the Ark of the Covenant was being kept. And it says they went to bring up the Ark of God, which is called by the name. Well, that's how the scripture puts it. The Ark of God, which is called by the name. Now that label, the name, by itself, it was a worshipful expression which put focus on God. Because the scripture goes on and it reveals that the name means the name of the Lord of hosts who is enthroned above the cherubim. So the ark was worshipfully called the Ark of Yahweh, signifying two important things: God's ownership of it and also God's presence in respect to it. Now, when you worship, we're Christians, we're in the new covenant. When I worship, we are worshiping the God who owns us. You are worshiping the God who owns you. You are His property, bought with the purchase payment of His Son, His own life as a sacrifice to get you. You are worshiping God's presence. See, you are his temple of the Holy Spirit. So you worship his presence in you. You need to know that. Moses was told to take off his sandals because he was in the holy ground that was in the presence of the Lord. Same thing that happened with Joshua later in the presence of God incarnate. He was told, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. Isn't that interesting what happened with them? Well, with you, you are, and please pay attention to this, I've said it before, you need to know this, you are the holy ground, okay? And the presence of the Lord is in you. You don't have to take your shoes off. You are the holy ground. But more in Christ, when you worship God, you do so, now this is really super cool, it's also kind of deep, but when you worship, you do so by his own Holy Spirit, okay? And so God is bringing glory to himself through you, through me, but he's doing it by his own Spirit. And this is the way God designed it to be in New Testament life in Christ. Now with David, he knew the ark in Jerusalem represented the Lord's presence there. And David wanted all Israel to understand that the Lord is central in everything. What did David want? He wanted proper focus. That's what we're talking about. And he wanted Jerusalem to be an atmosphere, to be the capital, right? Where his throne was, where the ark's going to be. They're going down to get the ark. He wants it to be the atmosphere of adoration, honor, and gratefulness for Yahweh. Anytime you go to Jerusalem, it's like entering into the outer court of the temple, in a sense. But he did have the tabernacle made there. But he wants this to be the place. Now, with you, with me, the worship atmosphere is with us. It's with you all the time. We just have to recognize it, be mindful of it, tap into it. And you might say, well, I don't feel like it, like a worship atmosphere is with me all the time, especially when we're going through the crud, you know, or you don't feel like worshiping. Maybe you're looking for some experience. And I'm talking about just a kind of experience that you're expecting, something you've been told is the right time to worship. Well, anytime you worship, it's an experience. But maybe you're looking for something, and so because you haven't found that thing that you're kind of drawing out as an image in your mind, you're not thinking it's worship. But you are always in the right atmosphere. You're always in the right time, let me put it that way, to worship. Driving down the road, in the middle of some crazy riot with a bunch of social justice warriors out there yelling at you, there's always times that you can worship the Lord. So here's what God wants. He wants you to be mindful of the fact that it's always the time to worship. See, now with the ark, it had been in the house of the Levitical priest, Abinadab, and it had been there for 20 years. So this entourage that David gets together of Israelites and the generals and all these people, they go all the way over to this house, and they took out the ark, and they put it on a cart that they built for this ark. That's what the details tell us. They took it out, they built this cart, they put the ark on it. Now, Abinadab had two sons, Uzzah and Ahio, and they led the cart along with the ark. And while moving along, here you got just visualize this moving project with thousands of people while it's going on, King David and all of Israel, they're engaged in celebrative worship before the Lord. It's an exciting time. And what it says is they were using all kinds of musical instruments for worship. They had lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. Now, the celebration was very exciting, lots and lots of noise. I mean, you think about this giant procession of all this festive worship, it's worship. And it went on until they came to this place that's very close to Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden, the oxen pulling this cart started to stumble. And you remember, Abinadab has two sons. One of them's name's Uzzah. Uzzah reached out, and he grabbed the ark to keep it stable. And then we are told that right in the middle of all of this celebrative worship, the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down for his irreverence. He died right there on the spot. Now, why would God be angry about Uzzah reaching out to help stabilize the ark of the covenant? You know, the ark of the name. After all, everyone's out there. They're worshiping the Lord together. Uzzah's part of this whole thing. Why does the scripture say that Uzzah was struck down for irreverence when he's obviously trying to ensure the ark's safety? And why the severest consequence? Death. Boom. Right there. The reason has to do with the focus of worship, God. Not talking about organized staging of worship. Not talking about flavors of method like music or music styles or singing or what you're wearing, something like that. I'm talking about the area of worship that has to do with the rest of your life, that area. It's your life as worship, which is a life focused on God. See, Uzzah's irreverence was toward God. And the way it got there was that Uzzah disobeyed God's ordained will about what to do with the ark. Now, Abinadab and his sons, Ahio and Uzzah, were Levites. So they're Levitical priests. They were ordained to be worship leaders. That's what they were in the priesthood of God. They're worship leaders. But the problem had to do with what God said about their ministry in respect to the ark. See, when we're worshiping God, we worship him for who he is, which means we worship him for what he says, what he does, everything about him. And God said in his law, the Mosaic law, that only the Aaronic priesthood was allowed to touch the ark. Numbers 4:15. In God's law, it indicates that when the ark was carried, it should not be touched. If touched, what happens? It says the person would die. Uzzah knew that. And further, only the descendants of the Levitical family of Kohath were ordained to actually carry the ark. And how? With poles. They had these big rings on the outside. They stuck the poles in there and they stood off and they carried with poles the ark. Well, Uzzah and his family were not descended from either of those people, Aaron or Kohath. Now, Uzzah did know the law. So he died for doing what he was told not to do, and he knew it, which was, don't touch the ark. And he did touch the ark. God struck him down. And that is called irreverence. That's why it was irreverence. Now, Uzzah may have showed outward worship enthusiasm. Remember what the sermon's about. But he didn't act like he believed touching the ark would kill him. In other words, he's going through the motions. Listen to what the Spirit's saying. The motions of worship. Ever found yourself just mouthing off words and then you're like, did I even say anything about the Lord? I don't even know what I said. Don't go through the motions. When you're worship, just think about God. He's going through the motions of what the others were doing in worshiping God, but he was not focusing on God as the reality in his own life. Focus on God. And also, God said in Exodus 25:14-15, you shall put poles into the rings in the sides of the ark to carry the ark with them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it. But instead, remember what it says, they made a cart for the ark. That's man coming up with his own ideas. It's not revering God's law. And doing so, think about the consequence. It's not only were they disobedient, but that's what made the ark unstable. When you have guys, four guys carrying something around with a pole, an object in the middle, they just go over everything like it's not even there. Stable. But this was unstable. And even if one of those guys stumbled, hey, they're the family of Kohath. That's their job. But when we're worshiping, when you're worshiping, you got to ask yourself, what are you focusing on? You're supposed to be focusing on the God you know, which also means what you know about him. Very important. If you don't believe Jesus is the only way of spiritual salvation, like God says, then how do you think you're worshiping God? Because God says it. Doesn't matter if you sing a song that says God is good. You know, Islamic people say these words, God is good. You know, if you doubt what the scripture says about God, then you're not worshiping the true God. You're not worshiping God. Now, if you think your way is better than his, you're not worshiping God. You're only reaching out to try and stabilize the experience with your error. But it doesn't work that way. Well, what we find is that David became angry. It says, because of the Lord's breaking forth against Uzzah, David became angry. Breaking forth against him. Wow. Well, I want to take you back again to when we started the sermon when David defeated the Philistines. And it says, David gave worshipful glory to God, saying, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breaking forth of waters. Same Hebrew word for God breaking through by breaking forth is the one for God breaking forth to kill Uzzah. And so they called that place there Perez Uzzah, meaning break forth against Uzzah. And it was because Uzzah did not take God seriously. So David started out with this Philistine destruction, with this exuberant worship when God broke forth against the Philistines. But now, David's angry about the same thing happening to Uzzah in this big celebrative move to get the ark to Jerusalem. But not only was David angry, it says he was afraid of the Lord that day. Now, you know there's a healthy fear of the Lord, but David was afraid. He was confused, and he said, "How can we get this ark of the Lord to come to me?" Meaning, I don't think it can be done. And apparently, David was unfamiliar with the finer details in the law concerning the carrying of the ark. They should have told him, Abinadab and his sons. He should have known, or he would have understood it all in a right perspective. In anger and fear and questioning and in confusion, something happened which flows with this lesson for us. David quit the celebrative worship. See? And this can happen to you too. And the way David reacted was that he was unwilling to move the ark into Jerusalem. But anger, fear, and confusion and questioning God, how many of you have ever questioned God? I have. It should not stop worship if the Lord is mine, your actual focus. Doesn't matter how many questions we have, how much anger we have, how much confusion. That doesn't stop worship. He's not confused. And if you experience anger, fear, confusion, and questions, always recognize the problem is on your end. Problem's not God. And you'll know if you're experiencing a problem in your heart with God because you will not want to worship Him for who and what He is. Mark that in your mind. You will let your experiences dictate your appreciation for His perfection and His glory. Don't do it. Well, what has happened in my life, your life, the lives of others? I've thought about these things. They might not be things that I like. They may not be things you're looking around and they might be things you don't like. We don't like everything that happens in the world under the curse and all the sin and temporality. Lots of stuff going on in our nation right now. We don't like it. But don't be deceived. Don't hold back worship as if what you don't like is making you not like God. Stay on focus. You know the God whom you love has the ways that are not your ways, right? You know He always does the wisest thing, the most loving thing, and the best thing in the grand scheme of all things. But He's the one that understands it more than us. Even when we don't understand any of it at all, He always knows. So concentrate on the fact that He understands the grand scheme perfectly. He understands, not you. But see, that's not what's making you decide whether or not to worship Him. Worship Him for who and what He is. That's your proper focus. Now with David, he had the ark taken to a house of a Levite very nearby. His name was Obed-Edom, and it stayed there for 3 months. And we're told that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's and all his household while the ark was there. I mean, you know, the greatest investment thing in the world is just to have the Ark of the Covenant in your house, and all of a sudden you prosper. And that's the issue. You got to look at this and you think, wow, so Uzzah was just struck dead, but Obed-Edom, his house is prospering. Why were they being blessed? And this is a very important answer. It's because God never changes. So the presence of the Lord in respect to the ark always stayed the same. It didn't change. Uzzah died because God never changes. Obed-Edom was blessed because God never changes. Either way, God remains worthy of worship. Well, word got back to David that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom because the ark was there. And during that three-month period, that waiting period, something interesting happened, which is another good lesson. David's whole thinking process was transformed in that 3 months. David saw things with a better perspective. Now the question is how? Because his focus was sharpened now by the word of God. See, 1 Chronicles 15 indicates that during those 3 months of this ark being over there in Obed-Edom's house, David had become more familiar with God's law. He was understanding now from a bigger perspective of God's word. And with understanding from God now in respect to His law and all this knowledge of Obed-Edom's blessing, you know, he had that knowledge too, David said, it's time to bring the ark into Jerusalem. And 1 Chronicles 15 gives us more details. Remember, I'm using 2 Samuel 5 through 6, and I'm using 1 Chronicles 15. David prepared a place for the ark in Jerusalem, and he pitched a tent for it. And then David gave everyone the biblical direction that has always been there in Scripture. It was always there. And back in that first moving project, Abinadab and Ahio and Uzzah should have given the proper directives on how to proceed to everyone, but they didn't do it. So now David took charge, and David directed everyone according to what? The word, truth, the law of God. And he said, no one is to carry the ark of God but the Levitical descendants of Kohath. Where did he get that? From God. It had always been there. David said, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him. What's David doing? His actions and his plans themselves were worship. David was being living worship by abiding in God's word. He's God-focused. Remember, that's what this is about, being God-focused. He's making everything God-focused. And so David brought all Israel together to bring this ark into Jerusalem, and this time according to biblical revelation. And it says, David gathered Aaron's descendants and the Levites and the descendants of Kohath, and David called all the head priests of the families. I actually don't know how to pronounce Kohath. Actually, I don't know how to pronounce most of these names, but I'll give it a try. And he called all the head priests of the families, and he told them, consecrate everyone to bring up the ark. Set yourself apart. That's what consecrate means. Sanctified is the same type of word. Set them apart. And then 1 Chronicles 15:13 tells us, David said to them, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God broke out on us because we did not seek him according to the ordinance. Now this time, David did not say that God broke out on Uzzah. You know, he said it was God broke out on us. And why? Well, it's the focus. Because David said, we did not seek him. And yet they're worshiping him. Very important point about our own lives. You claim to be a worshiper of God, but are you seeking him? That's part of the focus, right? And yet God was always worthy of the glory back then, always the honor, always the praise and celebrative worship that they were giving him, even when and even after he broke out on them because of not seeking him according to what he prescribed in moving the ark. And this is why your focus is the big deal. The celebration, the method, the way is not the focus, folks. It's all about God, who he is, what he says, what he does as a great, perfect creator. My wife was telling me that women's meetings Bible study this last Wednesday was on this worship understanding. And she told them the story. When I was a missionary in India, I would go out to these tribal people. They had spears. They still have spears in some areas of India. And hardly anything on. And there are saved people, Christians, in these huts. And when they would start worshiping, the kind of noise and dancing and singing that they were doing in front of me is not something that I'm pretty much guaranteeing you that you would be very interested in listening to. But I'll tell you what you would be interested in, partaking in it like I did. You know why? They had the focus. They had the focus. That's what it's all about. And so with this focus, that he's the great, perfect creator, and this beautiful thanks for the salvation and appreciation for who and what he is, you know, the priests and the Levites back then, they consecrated themselves to bring up the ark. The descendants of Kohath carried the ark with the poles like they were supposed to, commanded it in the word of the Lord. And then David got back to getting all Israel into the activity of the celebrative part of the worship again. And remember, David was a musician who praised God and worshiped with his songs. The songs that David wrote are biblical scripture in the Psalms. You know that, right? So you are told in Colossians 3:16, and I wish my Church of Christ brothers would learn about this, in Colossians 3:16, to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, because the psalms that it mentions are where? All these, this list of these different types of psalms, they're the ones David wrote. And when you go to the Psalms, David says to the accompaniment, he says, use a lyre and use a harp in this one. Use tambourines in this one. He gives directions in the Psalms that we're told in Colossians to use to sing. And so with David and Israel, now everyone's focused on the reason. Joy in showing love, adoration, honor, and gratefulness for the Lord, even though God's anger did break out against Uzzah the first time. And as David said, against us. They're recognizing, though, that God has not changed. David and Israel changed into alignment with God, who was the same God, same everything, perfect, holy, right about everything. And now they continue to honor him for it. So King David had the Levites appoint singers to raise sounds of joy with all kinds of musical instruments, it says. And David went with the elders of Israel and his captains to bring up the ark from the house of Obed-Edom, it says, with joy. And the focus comes out in 1 Chronicles 15:26, and it says, because God was helping the Levites who were carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when the bearers of the ark had gone a little ways, they stopped and sacrificed unto the Lord. Well, I read that kind of quickly. So did you get that part about God's involvement? It says, because God was helping the Levites in all that was going on. That gives me goosebumps. See, before, man was helping himself with all that was going on. Now it's reliance on God in worship. Full focus, see? Now with us, we worship by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. And God is involved in helping us focus on Him. Those people employed sacrificing along the way as part of the celebrative worship of God's hand in moving His own ark into Jerusalem. They focused on God every step of the way. Our worship should be focused on the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Sacrifice for our sins. His resurrection life imparted to us. And 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles explain the intensity of their celebration. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. Now you get this detail in 1 Chronicles, wearing a robe of fine linen and an ephod vest of linen. And it says, David and all Israel were going before the ark with shouting, with sound of the horn, trumpets, loud cymbals, harps, and lyres. And while the celebrated worship was going on, as the Ark of the Covenant came into the city, Michal, Saul's daughter, remember King Saul had a daughter, and now she was David's wife, and David got her back. Well, she looks out the window. She sees her husband. She sees him leaping and celebrating. But it says she despised him in her heart. Now, why did she despise him? Well, it's because she was focused on David. She was looking at what he was doing instead of focusing on the reason for why he was doing it. And we can call this the principle of Michal's mistake. Being focused on the worship methods of others instead of focusing on the reason they're doing it. Are you guilty of Michal's mistake? Michal's mistake is to despise the way others like to do it. Now listen, this is very important. Her mistake is to despise the way others are worshiping. In fact, so much that you don't even join in the focus on God. But David was not finished. When the ark was placed inside the tent, David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And then David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And then, in celebrative worship, David gave food to each person in Israel. Remember, worship can be with so many different kinds of ways. So he gives them all this food. There's a huge list of this food that he gives everybody. And then when David went to his own house, Michal comes out to meet him. And she said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself," means he took off his kingly robe, "before the eyes of his own servants, female slaves, as one of the vulgar fools shamelessly uncovers himself." Well, she was focused on the wrong one. Should have been focused on God. That's what I need to be focused on. It's what you need to be focused on when you're out during the week. We should be focused on God. She should have recognized that David was worshiping God as a man after God's own heart. Don't focus on him. So that's why I always say, when you know a brother or sister in Christ, try to recognize the Holy Spirit in them and look beyond the them. The them can drive you crazy sometimes. Just love the Jesus in them, and who else are you going to love? Them, the recreated them. Well, she didn't like that David took off his kingly garments, wore this linen robe, linen ephod vest instead. And David recognized that Michal was not interested in what his heart was doing. She wasn't interested even in the reason. She was focused on how he did it. So David told her what matters, the focus. Here's what he said. He said that what he did was before the Lord, who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. And then he says this, if you think he was being very prideful at the first part of what he says to his wife, listen to what he says next. "I am willing to shame and humiliate myself even more than this." But with the slave girls whom you mentioned, let me be distinguished. In other words, when I worship, I'm focusing on God, and that's what matters. See? So my urging for all of us is to worship God in the focus. Don't worry about what others think. Care about what God thinks. Focus on Him. Love Him. Focus on Jesus and the true things of God. There's nothing wrong with doing celebrative things in worship. Now, here are things that could irritate you. There are irritating. Try to focus on God, because the other people doing those things are trying to focus on God. Worship Him, believing His truth concerning you, appreciating His grace in those people's lives, in your life. This is the big togetherness thing about worship. Yeah, you can worship by yourself, but God wants us to worship in togetherness. That's why I read the Colossians passage, one reason. Respect His truths and in His instruction for life and godliness. Do that, and you can be sure that you're being reverent. Do that. Respect His truths, respect His instruction in your life for life and godliness. You do that, you know you're being reverent. And if you experience anger, which I do, fear, I do, confusion, I do, don't let it stop us from worshiping. Worship God for His, worship God for His forgiveness in Christ. You can always find many things, but worship Him for that. Employ various things in worship, music, singing, dancing, food, festivity. And if you have a callous mistake in your heart, weed it out. I've seen it. I've been it. Christians who reject others, what they're doing, how they do it, and their love for God. I've seen Christians mocking Christians for what they do. I'm very, very easily able to become guilty of Mikhail's problem. Let's not be that. But you'll do it if you despise the outward things instead of focusing on the reason for them. Be that person after God's own heart. Worship the focus. As you embrace your brothers and sisters, worship with them, even if it's in ways you're not used to doing. Amen?